Our next case this morning is case number 11-1941, United States versus Rice. Mr. Holmes.
Four. Counsel. This case is an appeal from a four-level enhancement pursuant to 2K2.1B6 of the sentencing guidelines. Mr. Rice was charged by the government with being an unlawful drug user in possession of a firearm. Mr. Rice did not have any felony convictions at the time of this offense. It's one issue in this case, and it stems from the four-level enhancement and whether a self-defense argument should prevent the enhancement from being applied. At sentencing, we argued that the self-defense applied and the enhancement should not be applied to Mr. Rice. And the reasons are as follows. Under Illinois law, there's a six-part test for self-defense. The facts of this case are that Mr. Rice went to an individual by the name Mario to get some marijuana from him. Mario refused. He offered to purchase the marijuana for $20. Some kind of argument ensued, and Mario spit in the face of Mr. Rice. Mr. Rice indicated that he was upset. He followed Mario home to fight. Once he got to the Mario's home, Mario exited the home and fired multiple shots at Mr. Rice. The evidence of the case supported that that actually happened. There were bullet holes in Mr. Rice's vehicle. Mr. Rice fled. He left that scene after being fired upon, went to his home, obtained a firearm, and an uncle told him that this Mario had followed him home or driven to the area. Mr. Rice obtained that firearm, went outside his residence, and indicated that he saw Mario, and on the videotape, Mr. Rice says that he believes Mario fired first. The agents ask, is it possible that it was the same time or you fired first? He says, it's possible. Then the final statement is, I'm pretty sure he fired first.
Counsel, didn't Mr. Rice leave his mother's home, gun in hand, with the intent of looking for Mario, and that it was a period of 3 to 15 minutes while he was outside with gun in hand? So let me ask you, if those are the facts, what's the present harm, given that Mario, the other individual with the gun, was a block or so away, and wasn't Rice the aggressor when he went looking for Mr. Mario almost a block away?
I would categorize it as he went looking for Mario. He went in his front yard. He did not walk a block away looking for him. He was still present in his front yard in the area immediately around his front yard.
But how you would characterize it, we can appreciate. However, the district judge who heard the evidence said that your client, in effect, went looking for Mario. Aren't we left with that that fact determination?
I would say no, Your Honor, because the district court said he left and went looking for Mario, but I think that statement is more of a generalization than actually meaning that he went looking for Mario. That sounds like he went and walked a block to find him.
And he follows up with that by saying, but the fact remains, after your client got home, there was no immediate threat or duress on him, and he could have called for help, called the police. I don't think the enhancement is improper in that situation. So he's kind of assessed the facts that were presented to him and come to those conclusions. And
here's it is a crime for Mr. Mr. Rice to possess a firearm without a FOID card. That is a crime. But that is not a crime that will trigger the four-level enhancement. Mr. Rice could have had that firearm in his possession. The underlying state crime is reckless discharge of the firearm. That does not occur until the firearm is discharged, not by him possessing the firearm. Now, when you're talking self-defense, you're talking a reasonable person standard. An individual fires a gun at you. Now, granted, if you look at who the aggressor was, initially Mario could be said the aggressor. He's the one that committed the battery by spitting. Mr. Rice became the aggressor when he followed Mario home, because Mario fled that first scene. Mr. Rice fled the scene, and thus, by Mario following him to his residence, Mario became the aggressor. Because a reasonable person, if an individual shoots at you and you go home and that individual shows up near your home, the logical explanation is they are there following you to do you bodily harm. So,
Counsel, isn't it true that Mr. Rice was actually looking for the gun before the uncle saw Mario outside the mother's house?
That may be true, Your Honor, but again...
So if he's in the effort of finding this gun even before he knows that Mario has followed him and is at his mother's house, how does that not suggest that he's preparing himself to be the aggressor?
No, Your Honor, I don't think that's the case, because the enhanceable crime is not him possessing the firearm. The enhanceable crime is the reckless discharge. Now, if an individual...
So you're saying once he's in the situation where he sees Mario with the gun, he can fire that gun in self-defense despite the fact that he placed himself willingly in that situation. That constitutes... Is that what you're saying?
Not that... My time is up. May I respond to this question?
You're in your rebuttal.
Okay.
You're fine.
Okay. The question you pose, can he respond to force if he placed himself in that situation? Now, it depends. If you're asking if the situation was he placed himself in was by going to Mario's house, he fled that situation.
I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the final incident where he finds Mario in the car and he starts firing his gun.
Okay. He takes the gun, he goes out in the street. It is still reasonable for him to believe that the individual that shot at him and then arrived at his home is there to do him bodily harm.
Well, the evidence is ambiguous about who fired first, even, you know, setting aside this question about who was pursuing who at which point in the entire episode. At the moment that the gunfire took place, at least the gunfire that's the subject of the underlying felony that's being used to enhance his present sentence, your client admitted that it was possible he shot first, and the physical evidence supports that proposition.
That may be the case, Your Honor, and I believe you. I'm not going to say you're incorrect on that, but when we're talking self-defense, it's a reasonable standard. Would a reasonable person believe that an individual who just shot at him and then followed him to his home still want to do bodily harm to him? Now,
that argument works better if Mario's at the door, banging on the door, than it does if Mario's driving around.
It does work better, but Mr. Rice went outside of his home, and he heard Mario was in the area when he went outside his home. Now, that he should have stayed in the home. That's no question. He should have called the police. If he gets home, gets a gun, and stays in the home, and Mario comes to the residence or comes to the front door, that's a reasonable belief. And it's even though he's still arming himself, and if Mario had came to the door and he shot, we have a similar circumstance, albeit Mr. Rice should not have left the home with that gun. But the bottom line is Mr. Mario drives from his residence after shooting at Mr. Rice to Mr. Rice's residence. And a reasonable assumption is he didn't come there to shake his hand and say, I'm sorry. I just, Mr. Rice did not feel that way, and that's why he fired. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Clark.
Good morning, Your Honors. The specific ruling by the district court was that the defendant did not act in self-defense because after he got to his grandmother's house, there was no immediate threat or duress on the defendant, and he could have called the police for help. That's on page 60 of the transcript. There was simply no error in this ruling, particularly because when Rice came out of his grandmother's house, armed, and shot at Mario, who was a block away, Rice was the aggressor. This defeats the self-defense, and therefore the government would ask that the decision of the district court be affirmed.
Is it a mixed question, Judge Steele's determination as to whether self-defense was applicable? Is that a mixed question of fact and law?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
So we would review that for clear error?
Yes, sir. But here we also have to understand that with clear error, if there are two permissible inferences, the district court is permitted to choose one of those, and therefore, on appeal, I don't believe that there would be clear error if he chose one of those two permissible inferences.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further, Mr. Holmes?
At the sentencing, the government provided a federal standard for self-defense, and one of the elements for that federal standard was if there was another alternative, a legal alternative, i.e. calling the police. The problem is that that is not a requirement under state law, and because the issue of whether self-defense applies to a state law crime, the proper standard is the one that I pointed out that's set forth in State of Illinois versus Hawkins and State of Illinois versus Jennings. Him calling the police seeking a legal alternative, it's not a requirement under state law. And I believe that the government provided the standard that would be used in self-defense for the actual substantive 922G violation, not the self-defense for the enhancement.
It's a factor that a jury would be permitted to consider in deciding whether the force was necessary and reasonable, right? That's the state standard.
Yeah, if the state standard is whether the defendant's belief was reasonable.
And whether the use of force was necessary under the circumstances. And so the availability of, a phone call to the police that he had just been shot at was certainly a relevant factor, whether or not it's, legally part of a legal standard. It's certainly a relevant factor to consider.
That is a factor, Your Honor, not to disparage the city of East St. Louis. That's where I'm from. Calling the police in East St. Louis, it's probably an hour wait before the police get there. It just so happens that the wave, the federal agents responded to this particular crime. Thank you, Your Honor.
Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. Mr. Holmes, you were appointed for your client, is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. You have the thanks of the court for your service to your client and the court.
Thanks.